Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're so blessed that you're joining us today. Here at the Seed, it's our prayer that we'll come to know in a real and personal way the deep, deep love of God found in Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. Or if you can't join us in person, you can watch our live stream and join us on live stream chat and fellowship with other Christians. And you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the live stream at 9 a.m. Join the live worship. If you're not able to do either one of those, you can always go to our YouTube, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship, and watch any of our services or just listen or watch the message each week. Do you know that there was a little girl who came to her mother one day with a deep, deep theological question? Mother, what is God like? Her mother hesitated. Go ask your father. Her father also hesitated. Later, the little girl's mother found a scrap of paper on which the little girl had written, I asked my mother what God was like. She did not know. Then I asked my father what God was like. He did not know. I would surely think if I had lived as long as them, I would know something about God. Well, here is something that I know for sure about God. God loves you. God loves you. And we're going to spend some time this week talking about how God loves you through your mothers, or how God has loved you through a person who's been like a mother. Do you know that President George Washington once said, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I can owe to my mother, I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her, President George Washington. President William McKinley said about his mom, by the blessings of heaven, I mean to live, die, and all things that please God in the faith of my mother. President Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. I remember my mother's prayers and have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother, President Abraham Lincoln. Author and writer Mitch Albom said, behind all your stories is always your mother's story, because hers is where yours begin. Washington Irving once said, a mother is the truest friend we have. When trials are heavy and sudden falls upon us, when adversity takes the place of prosperity, when friends desert us, when trouble thickens around us, still will she cling to us and endeavor by her kind precepts and counsels to dissipate the clouds of darkness and cause peace to return to our hearts. Washington Irving. And the great theologian and pastor Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, I cannot begin to tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother. All the books of the world could not contain her godly influence upon me. John Calvin, the reformer, said, the noblest calling in the world is that of a mother. She who rears a family of God-fearing sons and daughters, whose immortal souls will be exerting influence through the ages, long after paintings have faded and books have worn thin, deserve the highest honor that men can give her. And John Wesley said, I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England. And of course, I want to end with one of the sports heroes. I grew up in Chicago. Michael Jordan said, he said these words, my mother is my root, my foundation. She planted the seed. I loved it. I love that because we're the Seed Christian Fellowship. He says, she planted the seed that I have based my life on, and that is the belief and the ability to achieve. The ability to achieve starts in your mind. Well, when I sat down to write this message, I reflected on some of the women of the Bible. I've even typed in women or mothers, and I found 338 verses in the NIV translation that use the word mother in it. Now, that's a lot, I thought about Eve, the first biblical mother. Then my mind jumped to Sarah, who laughed when God told her she would have a child in her old age. Recently, my wife and I went to a play called Jericho at the Lifehouse Theater out in Riverside, California. We were blessed to see the story of Rahab and her faith. I thought a good message today, we could even talk about the love of Naomi and Ruth. Ruth has such a powerful faith story, and Naomi tries to get Ruth to return back to her own people. And listen to the encounter in Ruth 1:16, those very famous words, when Naomi's trying to send Ruth back, and Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death should separate us." And of course, we could jump real quickly to the New Testament. We could find even some wonderful stories of faithful women who were pillars of faith. Elizabeth, who gives birth to John the Baptist, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her response to the angel Gabriel when she's told that she's going to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that verse. If you write in your Bibles, Luke 1:37, Mary responds, "For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Wow. I'm reminded of Paul's word to Timothy as Paul writes to encourage Timothy to be faithful. He says in those words, "I have reminded of your sincere faith from that first lived in your grandmother." Well, hooray for grandmothers too. "Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I persuaded this sincere faith now lives in you also. For this reason, I'm reminded that you should fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline." I don't know where you are, but I want to talk about Moses' mom for a moment. And I prayed about this passage for a while, but let us pray. Lord God of all creation, we give thanks that you created moms, grandmothers, and those who have been like mothers to us. May your words today be words of life and hope. Exodus chapter 2, 1 to 10. Exodus 2, 1 to 10. "Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she got a papyrus basket, put him in it, and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at the distance to see what would happen. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" Let's reflect for just a few minutes on this story and celebrate the gifts of mothers and women in our life. The people of Israel have been in Egypt for a long time, and they began to multiply and grow in number. And as they did, Pharaoh got nervous. He was afraid that they would become too powerful, and so he enslaved them. He put them into slavery. But they were still having babies and growing in numbers, so he came up with the idea. He gave an order that every baby boy born into the Hebrews was to be thrown into the Nile River. We are told that when Moses was born, his mother hid him away for 3 months. That in verse 2 from our text. And it's interesting because it does not say anything about Moses' dad doing this. This was his mom. I don't know why Moses' dad's not involved in any of this, but there is no mention of him. And then in verse 3, when Moses' mama would hide him no longer, she made a little basket, and really the Hebrew word is ark, and floated him down the river. And people say, why in the world would she do such a thing? And you have to realize that she's Hebrew. She's been taught from the day she was born about how God saved Noah in an ark. And here is a good so what. What does Moses' mother do? She builds an ark, and she trusts God to save her son. Point number one, if you're at a crossroads of what to do with a problem in your life, build an ark and trust God. Did you hear me? If you're at a crossroad of what to do with a problem in your life, build an ark and trust God. In so many ways, that is the message of this wonderful mom, Moses' mom. And we could stop here and, well, we could go to lunch or go to dinner or just take a break. When you are in a problem or a crossroad, build an ark and trust God. Now, it's also interesting to me that we do not even know Moses' mother's name until we get to Exodus chapter 6. Her name is Jochebed, and she is not only mentioned by name, she's only mentioned by name twice in the Bible. I think this is God's way of saying to us that motherhood is not some high-profile occupation where a mother gets all the kinds of recognition, honors, and praise. Most mothers do not own a line of Nike shoes named after them like Michael Jordan. No, sometimes mothering, well, it's a pretty thankless job. And if you read the book of Exodus, you'll find the rest of the story. Jochebed sends Moses floating down the river, but she sends her daughter, Moses' sister, to watch over him. And at the time of Pharaoh's daughter went to the river, Moses comes floating by, and Pharaoh's daughter had her servants retrieve the ark, the basket filled with the baby. She noticed that this is a Hebrew baby. Miriam, Moses' sister, is there, and she offers to get a nurse for the baby. Pharaoh's daughter agrees, and Moses' own mother becomes his nurse. When Moses is old enough, he's brought back to Pharaoh's daughter, where he's brought up in the palace and educated with the best of education of the day. And later on, Moses becomes the savior of the Hebrew people and brings them out of slavery in Egypt. The writer of Hebrews tells us in the faith chapter that it was the faith of Moses' parents that led to the freedom of the people of Israel. By faith, let me read that, Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. If point one is, got a problem, build an ark and trust God, point two is, got a problem, don't be afraid. Well, you've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship, and this is Pastor Dave, and we've been talking about, got a problem, build an ark and trust God. Point two, got a problem, don't be afraid. We're talking about Moses and how God saved him. Well, I have to admit that I've been watching some of my wife's Hallmark movies at night. The other night, I came into the beginning of a movie, and I don't know the name of the movie. The mom was running the household and getting the children lunches ready, clothes cleaned, and all the unsung duties of being a mom. The gist of the story is that the mom goes away on a mom's weekend and the household falls apart. Clothes clutter the house, toys are strung everywhere, the food is not prepared, and the truth be told, the house is in shambles. It made me pause and ponder the wonderful wife and mother that God gave me. We were married at 19. I always say I was a very mature 19-year-old, but not really. We were married at 19, and our first child was born the day after I turned 20. And of course, I would say that, being very mature at 19, you could have a child. But by the ripe age of 25, we had three children, and I was working 60-plus hours a week and playing softball with my brothers and friends. And I do not know how my wife kept the house running. And I want to take just a few minutes and brag a little bit about my wife and my mother, the mother of our three children. My wife went to work as a stay-at-home mom right out of college. She had her secretarial degree. I'd also say that she helped me complete my bachelor's degree my last year of college. I took 24 hours of classes in order to graduate so that I could go to work. She did this while raising our daughter and being in the house mom for six sororities, several hundred college ladies. We were house parents for the girls' sorority dorm my senior year. My wife was the house mom to hundreds of college girls and to our daughter. She not only ran our home, but she also ran all the details of huge dorm, plus put me ready for graduate school. I really do not know how she did all that. In 1979, my wife became a Christian through a crossing guard by the name of Mayron Jones. Mayron was a retired man who stood at the corner of our street and helped the children to get safely across the street. He was a crossing guard. We lived kitty corner to this school and this crossing area in order to help with our finances. My wife began to do before school and after school care for 10 children. Every school day, she would have our three small children and 10 other children. One day, Mayron was handing out those little Gideon Bibles with the New Testament and Psalms. Mayron handed one to our oldest daughter, Jenny. Jenny was only 5 years old. Mayron held the Bible up and told Jenny that she could have one of these Bibles only if her mom promised to read it to her. Now, I need to tell you that my wife grew up Catholic, and I'm not making any judgment on the Catholic Church, but in her growing up years, they were told that only the priest read the Bible. My wife had never read the Bible before. One night when it was late and I was not at home because of work and playing softball and partying, my wife had fed our three children, gave them baths, and got them ready for bed, and Jenny had brought the little Bible everywhere. And during nap time, she and her mama read the Bible together. And on August 30th, 1979, Jenny's Bible fell between the toilet, the tub, and the trash. My wife, Jack, I call her Jack, Jacqueline, got on her hands and knees in order to reach between the Bible, the toilet, the tub, and the trash. And she reached down, and kneeling down, she pulled it up by the back cover, and it was the sinner's prayer. While kneeling there, Jack prayed that prayer and asked, she said, "I'm a sinner." And she prayed that prayer. She would say that the whole room lit up in a bright glow that felt like warm honey was being poured all over her. She said that she felt warm all over. Not long after that, one of her friends from the preschool invited her to a Stonecroft women's Bible study, and she understood that she had been saved and forgiven. My wife went to these Bible studies for about 2 years, and she grew and grew in her faith. She became, well, non-codependent on me and started to live her life with joy. I noticed the change, but to be honest with you, I was terrified. What had happened to my wife, the mother of our three children? Friends, I stand here today because of the faith of my wife. I would not be here if it were not for her. She would constantly, for 2 years, bring her Bible out to me and show me a verse and ask me to just read that verse. I would wait for her to leave the room, and to be honest with you, I would throw the Bible across the room. I did not want to read that book. After 2 years, she invited me to a couples Bible study by Stonecroft Women's Club. Once a year at the holidays, they invited men to join a Bible study. The study was on the book of Romans. I didn't know there was a book of Romans in the Bible. I thought it might be about history and the Romans. I loved history, so I went. I also went because the teacher was a man who was a mentor to me in high school. It was January 28, 1981, on a cold winter night in Illinois, that I got on my knees and asked God to be my father, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It was Romans 8, verses 15 to 16, that forever changed my life. And he says in Romans 8, 15 to 16, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear." Wow. Let me say that again. I know there's a lot of people that are afraid. He said, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship," or you received a spirit of adoption. "And but by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory." My wife had been a mother, has been a mother of our three children, and this past week, my wife closed out and hit the done button on our children's ministry here at our church. She has 100% turned over her portable children's seed kid men to Miss Sherry. Just here, Jack had over 500 Sundays of portable church, where she and her team transformed three huge Central Park rooms into kids men every Sunday. Unpack the trailer, set it up, pack it, do all the work. That's a wrap. After 48 years in kid ministry at the church, loving children, being a mother to many, she spent 20 years as a preschool teacher and director. In her time just here in kid ministry, she helped raise 30 $23,000 for babies and infants in Zambia, Africa through our Noisy Sunday. We've even had those broadcast on the radio, and you, some of you may have helped raise funds for that. Do you know that there two churches have adopted Noisy Sundays, and they join us in supporting our rescue homes in Zambia, changing the world for Christ? To top all that off, my wife's children and all of them know the Lord, and we're so blessed. Our 12 grandchildren all know the Lord and serve Him. The writer of Proverbs 31 says, "Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." Wow. I think of the faith of Eve and Sarah, Rahab and Ruth, Naomi, the Shunammite woman, Elizabeth, Mary, Lois, Eunice, Jochebed, and Jacqueline, my wife. They all lived by faith. They lived by faith. Faith is a powerful thing that transforms our life. I want to just thank all the women out there that have carried faith. There's a song called Faith of Our Fathers, and I would change the wording to Faith of Our Mothers just for a moment. Faith of our mothers living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword, or how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our mothers, holy faith, we live to be true to thee till death. Verse 3 of that old hymn says, faith, and I'm changing the words, but from father to mother, but faith of our mothers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, we shall then truly be free. Faith of our mothers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows by kindly words and virtuous life. I shared this story about my wife, not to brag about my wife, but I am so blessed to have a wife who has loved me and shown me the love of God. And I'm here because of her faith and how she demonstrated that faith. And it was a contagious faith. I don't know where you're at. I don't know the crossroads. I don't know the problems that you face. But I think of the book of Exodus, and I think of Moses' mother, Jochebed. She had a problem. And she built an ark, and she trusted God, and she put that problem really in God's hands. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know your fears. I don't know the things that keep you awake at night. I don't know the shame or the guilt or the broken relationships or the financial struggles. But I'm going to encourage you today, build an ark. Put your problem in the ark. And put it in God's hands. Build an ark and trust God. That's our main point today. Build an ark and trust God. And point two is, you got a problem? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's what we learned with the faith of Moses' parents. That's what I learned from the faith of my wife, how her life was transformed by God's word. And she gave me God's word. And then I shared a couple weeks ago about how God's word has transformed my life. I really want you to know, as one of your pastors here on the radio, I want you to know the deep, deep love of God, and to look around and see those people who have ministered in very special ways the love of God to you. I'm thankful today. I'm very thankful for my wife, for her love for me and how she's loved me, and she's demonstrated that love of God. And I give thanks for moms. Last week I gave thanks for fathers, and this week I give thanks for mothers. And maybe you didn't have a good mom or a good father. I pray that God will bring good moms and good fathers into your life to mentor you. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks that you love us, and we pray that your love would just overflow into our lives so we could flow it out and pour it onto others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.